Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone.
WBR Fairfax Radio, you're on the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew. And joining us on the Commons today, we have Joni Ellis. Joni is from Florida, and she lives in an association that has had a number of problems, and we're going to find out about them in just a moment. But before we get to that, I want to point out that in case you missed it, CAI has run another poll, and surprise, surprise, Zogby found that just about everybody they talked to was just happy, happy, happy in their HOA, with their HOA, and everything that was going on in their HOA. But I bet you anything, they did not talk to Joni, and they did not talk to some of Joni's neighbors. So, Joni, what's going on in your Happy Homeowners Association where everybody's bathing in the sunlight?
Well, it's not all sunshine and roses in my homeowners association. Funny, they didn't speak to me, and no one that I know of spoke to them. So basically in mine, I have my own saga, and then, excuse me, there are a number of stories around my neighborhood that some are very serious, some are just downright sad that the board has nothing better to do, and it seems like they've just decided they'll be bullies instead of looking out for their fiduciary duty and looking ahead of what can be how they can make the place better.
Well, you're being fined. There are a number of articles on you.
There are.
and one of them says that you're being fined $1,600. And we're going to tell the people out there, our listeners out there, why you're being fined in just a second, but I saw two numbers, 1,600 and 4,000.
That's correct. The 1,600 fine started in 2006. They started fining me $50 a day back in 2006 for the same infraction. At that time, I did hire an attorney who wrote them a little love letter, and after this letter, all correspondence and all fines just stopped. There was, the fine did not increase. They didn't send me any notification. They didn't write back to my attorney, nothing. So I thought hopefully common sense had prevailed, and they thought that they would drop it, and I thought I would be a lady and just let them lick their wounds and crawl back into their hole. However, that's not what happened. Back in 2009, they decided that they were going to resurrect this and complain again about the same thing. And what they're complaining about has been in place since March of 1999. They did not complain until 2006, which, of course, was beyond the statute of limitations for them to enforce anything. And funny that my yard was just fine for all those years. And it also constitutes selective enforcement. What I did was I've been going around for years and taking pictures, and many, many of the pictures that I have were of board members and committee members' homes.
And, of course, the rules don't apply to them, do they?
Well, see, that's the rules are not for everybody, and that's what I have a saying. They are only for us little people, and if you're on the board, it seems that they only matter if you get caught. And so when I went before my compliance committee, I showed a slideshow presentation of people that are on our board, on our landscape committee, on our compliance committee, that were outside of our compliance regarding this rule that I'm being fined for.
Now, tell us what you're being fined for.
Well, I have, you'll probably be surprised, but I have seashells and a koi fish in my yard in two different places. And
oh, yes, my gosh.
Yes,
you're a bad girl.
I know. It's so offensive. People just drive by, and it's amazing that we just had a parade of homes, and people would stop and say, is this the yard they're complaining about? It's gorgeous. And I would say, thank you, but yes, this is it. And one of my neighbors was even doing a circus barker imitation, you know, see the yard that defied the HOA board. And I've had people knock on my door to congratulate me and say, you know, you keep going. There is nothing wrong with this yard. And they've even broke it down. My what they refer to as my decorative items are on a wire grid. So they were purchased as one item. However, they are counting each little resin seashell and each little fish as one item. So it depends on who's writing me the letter. Sometimes they cite me for up to 22 different items in my yard.
And do you get fined $50 for each item, or is it a collective?
It's a collective just per day.
Just per day.
So, yes, I have a $50 per diem fine. And I am standing my ground. I have had so many compliments on my yard. Again, they're outside the statute of limitations. The selective enforcement is rampant in my neighborhood. And it's time for me to put my foot down. And I do speak for a number of people. Many of them are retired or are scared of retaliation from our homeowners association.
That's a common fear. Let me ask you something, Joni. I got a little confused because you did send me a number of links and articles, and I had done some research before on my own as well. And everything I read said that it's a rule and it's out of the association manual.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not an attorney, so I cannot be giving legal advice. However, I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
Is it a rule? What is it? What's this three-item thing? Is it a covenant? Is it a rule? Is it a bylaw?
It states in our homeowner's manual, and it's a little ambiguous. So there's a problem there of whether you're allowed three items per flower bed or plant bed. But what they say is you're allowed three items, and it goes on to state they must be earth tone in color, and their earth tone only equals gray, green, or brown. Now, there are other earth tones in this world. However, earth tone in my neighborhood are only three colors. So if you're outside of that, you also get a love letter from the board stating that you're in violation.
Okay. I want to go back to the question of whether what is the homeowner manual? What does that consist of?
It consists of some basic rules that they would like to enforce to promote harmony in our neighborhood, and it also includes the rules and regulations from our covenants.
Okay. All right. Okay. As I said, I'm not an attorney. However, there's a hierarchy of documents. Do you know the difference between rules and covenants and bylaws?
I do.
Because you have the covenants that run with the land. They
Correct.
Have to touch and concern the land.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the restrictions that are on your personal private property.
That's correct.
And those covenants are recorded in the land records because they serve as constructive notice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Then you have the bylaws. And sometimes associations will try to amend the covenants by just amending the bylaws because they're a whole lot easier to amend. And then there are rules and regulations. Now, the board gets its powers and its authority from the governing documents, and that would be articles of incorporation, covenants, and all of that. Every covenant I've ever seen allows the board to adopt rules and regulations pertaining to the common area.
Correct.
However, if they're telling you that you cannot have more than three decorative or three items on private property, are they You know, and that's why I keep coming back to, is this a covenant or is this a rule? If it's a rule, and again, I'm not an attorney, but it would seem to me that it would be an invalid rule because they don't have the authority to adopt that rule.
Well, interesting, because my attorney has asked for proof that these rules and regulations have been adopted pursuant to the articles of the Declaration of Covenants, and he has written to my board's attorney and has not received any response.
Okay. If you have the covenants, find out what the powers of the board is. I mean, if they've been given the power to arbitrarily take away a property right that you own, then, you know, okay, they can make any rules and regulations they want, which, you know, seems a little silly. But otherwise, it would seem to me that they're acting outside the scope of their authority.
Well, they are acting outside the scope of their authority, and also there's some common sense that needs to be applied. And again, unfortunately, boards are really short on common sense.
Well, like my husband always says, there's nothing common about sense.
This is true.
That, you know, but the thing is, you're dealing with the law here, and you're dealing with a set of expectations that, you know, if you did buy into this contract notion theory, then the contract says the board is supposed to, you know, be able to adopt rules and regulations pertaining to the common areas. Your yard is not a common area. It is a private area.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was a restriction on your private area, it would have been spelled out in the covenants.
Well, I believe I have my covenants here that I could look real close. And I know that they are. It is in the bylaws, and they repeat through the bylaws.
The bylaws will tell you how to run the association.
Mm-hmm.
You have a board, so many board members, annual meetings, notice of meetings, all of that kind of stuff. But when it comes to private property and your right to have as many seashells in, you know, this is a beachy town, for crying out loud. Can't have seashells by the seashore? That's ridiculous.
Well, and that's what people say. And again, citing all the board members for the same rule was a little bit interesting. One of the gentlemen that was on or is in charge of our safety committee got very upset that his name was listed in the newspaper as being in violation, and then he called the newspaper reporter, and he said things, for instance, that he knows he was in violation, but now he respects the rules. Well, if you're on a CDD board, why didn't you respect the rules before? And also, one of the items that he pointed out was that I didn't understand why these items were only restricted to three, that in case of a hurricane, that it would be best that only three items would exist because these items become missiles. Well, I can tell you that somebody's fence panel is going to do much more damage than my two-inch shell.
You know, these people really believe themselves when they come up with this stuff. They take themselves so damn seriously.
They do.
It's ridiculous. You know what? If you have two seashells, you're going to have a missile. If you have one seashell, then it's okay, you know?
Exactly.
They're incredibly stupid. I'm sorry. They really are. I mean, I know one of these days I'm going to have to learn how to speak my mind, but... yeah, I saw that. I saw where he said, oh, no, I'm going to come into compliance now. Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
Well, only because he got caught.
he's
lived there for quite a long time. And, of course, he wanted his answer, if I didn't like it, that I could move.
Uh-huh. And the rules, again, in some of the other associations are much looser. So if you want to move... you want to live with looser rules, move to another association. Wait a minute, buddy. Where does it say you have the right to do what you're doing? I don't, you know, if it is a rule, then, Joni, I don't think it's a valid rule.
That could very well be. And interestingly enough, the gentleman that is the CEO of our original developer, Rex Jensen, is a very intelligent professional businessman. And even in one of the articles, he said, again, it's common sense. If these rules aren't working for you, change them. Because our board keeps saying, it's the rule, it's the rule. And one analogy that can be used is, okay, speeding is against the law too. But you know what? A cop has the ability to pull you over and give you a verbal warning, a written warning, fine you, or haul your body to jail. It's all because he uses his common sense and his training. Unfortunately, our board, I don't believe, have any training. They just proceed in bullying people, and many, many people, I will say 99% of the people, back down because they're being bullied and they're scared.
But the thing is, you know, the speed limit is the law.
Mm-hmm.
It is the law. It has teeth in it. A rule doesn't, especially one if they don't have the authority to adopt. And I keep coming back to that because as I was sitting here right before I came over and I'm reading through all the, I printed up a bunch of the articles and stuff that you'd sent me, and as I'm reading through there, I'm going, wait a minute, I keep seeing rule and rule and rule and rule, and wait a minute,
mm-hmm.
You know, this doesn't make any sense. They don't have, I mean, rules, they don't have the authority. It doesn't matter whether there's common sense or not. Fact is, they don't have the authority, if they don't have the authority to adopt those rules. You know, common sense, don't argue. Don't go down that. Don't even assume that they have the authority to do what they're doing.
Don't waste my time.
No, just go straight for the, hey, wait a minute, buddy. This is an ultra-virus act. You don't have that authority. Cite your authority. That's not what it says. This is not common property. Get out.
Understood.
You know, we don't care if it makes sense or not. You just don't have the authority. Get out. Very simple.
I like that. I like the simple approach.
Yeah, because once you start getting into assuming that they do have the authority and you go, well, you know, you could be lenient or, you know, then you're just muddying the waters. Just get right down to the point. And have your attorney check your covenants. Look at what, you know, the board's powers are, and it should state it right there.
Okay.
And, if it says the board has the power to adopt rules, and see what the wording is. You know, don't stop there. If it says pertaining to the common area, well, okay, wait a minute. You don't have that authority. Sorry, buddy.
Well, good insight. I will certainly go back and read those documents one more time.
Yeah, keep reading to the end of the sentence, the end of the paragraph.
Yes, all 400-some pages.
I know, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
It is.
Now, if you can find just where the power of the board is, it should tell you right there.
All right.
And you know, look for rules, and, you know, it'll spell it out.
Okay.
Yours is not the only problem that you've been having. There are other problems in the association.
There are other problems. One of the people, families, have been fined an excessive amount. They put a little sign out. They are from Scotland, and it's a heritage thing that you name your property.
Uh-huh.
So they put a tiny little sign that was 4 inches by 12 inches to name their property, and they were told, no, you can't have that, and they were also fined $50 a day, and they were sent to collection, and because they are business owners and had some restrictions on them in regards to that black mark, they had to pay that, and what a shame that you can have an ugly alarm sign out there stating that you have an alarm on your house, but you can't have a nice, tasteful sign that gives your home a name.
You know, the same thing applies to them. They're in the same association, right?
That's correct.
And if they had that sign on the front of their house and there is nothing in the covenants that restricts it, and it's a board rule or it's just a board whim, you see, boards don't know what they're doing.
That has been my findings. They do not know, and we
they
do
don't.
Have a management company.
They don't know either.
And a CAM, but with 16 hours of education, to make you a CAM does not explain everything and give you the knowledge to run a neighborhood.
They don't know. I mean, the CAMs don't know anything. If you do force them to actually read the governing documents, they'll go, they're not in compliance with the law. Well, they don't have to be in compliance with the law. So they come in and they try to change it.
Mm-hmm.
The attorneys don't know the rules because they represent 400, 500, 600, 800 associations. They can't know the rules for every one of them.
Sure.
They don't worry about it. Oh, well, we passed the law. Well, the law is not going to... It's not going to change.
No.
You know, the provisions of the covenant, it may make something illegal in the covenants, but it's not going to add anything. It's not going to say, usually, because, you know, the legislators don't really want to risk having associations be, you know, state actors, because then they'll have to protect your property or protect your constitutional rights. So, you know, again, boards don't know, managers don't know, attorneys don't know until you just grab them by the ear, sit them down in a room, give them the paperwork and say, read it.
I agree.
Now tell me what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So the Scottish people had to pay a fine. Do you know how much it was?
I believe it was $2,250.
And it was all fine?
Yes, ma'am. And they reduced it because the people that they were that were receiving the fine asked them, said, you know, can you cut us some slack? And evidently, the board in the meantime had changed their rule from $50 a day to $50 a month, that the fine that could be levied. But in the meantime, that they didn't apply that retroactive to this family. And the family, like I said, the fine had been sent to collections, so they did have to pay collections, but they reduced it $1,000.
What a bunch of big hearts, huh?
Yeah, it just seems, and truly, you know, if they had asked the family, in retrospect, it might have been worth $50 a month to the family to keep their sign out there.
I'm just wondering if there's any way, I mean, if you do find out, and I don't know because I have not read your documents, but if you do find out that there's nothing in the covenants and the board was acting outside the scope of their authority, if there's any way for these guys to go back and collect what they've paid in, which would also include collection costs and fees, because, you know, that sort of tends to spiral out of control.
Sure, it does. In 2008, my neighborhood collected $28,000 in fines.
You're kidding.
No, ma'am.
$28,000?
Yes.
For what?
Fines. Anything ranging from, we all have yard lamps, your yard lamp being out to your yard lamp not being painted. You might have brown spots in your yard. They wanted you to remove an oil stain off your driveway. Many things. You removed a tree that is not indigenous to Florida without asking them, even though it was up against your foundation and cracking your foundation. Just amazing things. One of the gentlemen that has a fine outstanding right now, they ask him to resod his yard during a drought. And during this time, our irrigation water is in included in our CDD fees. In our irrigation water, they were threatening to turn it off because in 6 months we had used up a year's worth of our irrigation water. So then they tell this man, resod your yard, and oh, by the way, we may be turning the irrigation off. He went before the board and said, look, you know, I plan on doing this, but can we wait until rainy season? Can we wait until I know that you're not going to turn the irrigation off? And they basically said no, and they started fining him $50 a day. Well, during this time, he thought, well, okay, I'll bite the bullet. So he does resod one area in his yard that he was being cited for brown spots, and he notifies our management company that he has complied and he has resodded. And the lady who's in charge, our CAM, stated that she was just going to let the fine run because there was no guarantee that that yard was not going to turn brown again.
Oh, wait, they're going to let the fine run?
To continue to accrue because there was no guarantee that his yard would not turn brown again.
Oh, gee. These people need some adult supervision, serious adult supervision here.
It is all about a control issue. It truly is.
I guess they don't mind being stupid, huh?
Well, they don't. And this poor woman, you would think she gets written up in the newspaper all of the time and for just being a terrible tyrant and for really her lack of knowledge. And you would think that she would either learn something from the newspapers, learn something and increase her knowledge base, or just stop being a bully. But, again, it never stops.
That's unreal. That's absolutely unreal. Joni, the other day we were talking, and you introduced me to a whole new concept. I guess in Florida there's no end to the number of governments you can have. You talked about an IDA.
That's correct. We have what is referred to as an inter-district authority. So our ladder consists of our neighborhoods, then our HOA, then a CDD, and then all the CDDs are condensed into what's referred to as IDA, inter-district authority.
And do you have to feed all these mouths?
We do.
Every one of them has taxing powers and authority and all that?
Well, the CDD and the IDA are included in our property taxes, so they are broken out. But for myself, it's approximately $900 a year for their piece of the pie, and then I have my HOA fees on top of that.
How much are they?
They are only about $200. However, when you read our budget, if they do not fine people to the tune of approximately $30,000 a year, our fees would be much higher.
So you've got, okay, you say you've got the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And the neighborhood is part of the HOA.
Correct.
And some of the articles, they were saying, you know, if you want to move into this other HOA because they're looser. Of course, that's only as long as, you're one board away from having all of that change anyway, so that's about the most idiotic argument on earth. Why do these people come up with this stuff?
I don't know, and it comes with the other, well, you should have known that when you moved in.
They're going to come up with a stupid rule that may be, outside the scope of their authority to enforce or to adopt. That's what you should have known?
Exactly.
You cannot, nothing is sure. I mean, if they've got those kinds of powers, nothing is sure. That you should have known argument goes right out the window.
Well, and there's nothing to rein them in, and as you know, in Florida, there is no governing authority, so there's no checks and balances, and you can complain and complain and complain, But all you're told is, oh, well, yeah, there's really nothing we can do.
Yeah, I know. It's the same across the country. CAI's come up with this brilliant idea. We're going to have these ombudsmen.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to decide who the ombudsmen are. And then we're going to tell the ombudsmen that the problem is these whiny homeowners. And there's no problem with the HOA at all. And these poor board members are volunteering their time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just these malcontents.
Well, and another instance in our neighborhood, we have a lovely lady who is disabled by degenerative arthritis. She asked for some special considerations and was told no. And so she finally brought a suit against our homeowners association. And our homeowners association admitted to bullying her, to checking to see who's coming in and out of her house. Her neighborhood representative went to her neighbors and said she was faking her disease. They changed rules just to that would only affect her and admitted this.
Wow.
She settled out of court, but and all of us homeowners now, of course, that'll be divvied up and we will have to pay that. There was never any mention of this lawsuit against our board in any of our minutes. I'm not sure why. But I found it. I talked to this lady who is absolutely lovely, and she wasn't complaining. She's disabled and was not even asking for anything that would affect anyone. And for an example, there is a caregiver in her home. Her husband works in his home in an in-house office, and when the husband is helping this young lady, the caregiver sometimes answers the phone. Well, they called that an employee. So they basically went out and said, you can't have an employee, and they started going after her for something just so trivial. And not only does it make me mad that now we all have to pay for their actions, what happened to being a neighbor? I moved into a neighborhood to be a neighbor, not a unit dweller.
So, I know, they've kind of killed the concept of community and home, haven't they?
Community, home, and communication.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just absolutely horrible.
Yes, and so every once in a while you have a fun story. I understand that you had a chance to speak the other night and relay some of the funny stories, but most of the stories you hear are horror stories.
Well, it's funny. I'm a Toastmaster and I give speeches, and quite often, and you know, the speeches that I do give relate to homeowner associations. It's another avenue of educating people and bringing the stuff to them. And I did a humorous story. And what I did was I talked about all of the most ridiculous things that I've heard about. You know, dusty mailboxes, pudgy pooches, too many rose bushes in the yard. And everybody was on the floor. They were all laughing hysterically. And when I told them this, and they're going, that's not true, right? I mean, you're just making all of these up. I said, every one of these stories that I told you came out of the papers. Every single one of them. So I get home, and somebody has sent me an article from Texas. Somebody's being fine. Now, the Texas state flower is the bluebell. And she had too many bluebells in her yard.
Oh, how offensive.
And they wanted her to mow it down, and she couldn't have these. It was beautiful. They had pictures on there. And then somebody else sent me something else. And then I talked to you, and I heard about some more of these stupid rules. And I'm going, wait a minute. But you do. You have to make fun of them. I mean, you have to ridicule them. You can't take these people seriously.
Well, no, and some of it is an outlet, because some of the things that homeowners do are humorous.
Well, you know, the idea that seashell, I mean, you know, you're in Florida. Well, I don't know if you're on the beach, but everybody in the world thinks of Floridians being on the beach.
I am not on the beach, but really one of the nice things is that we have a large group of homeowners that are in support of me, and they have started putting out seashells in support of me. Now some of them are still scared against the retaliation, so they have it, you know, hidden under a bush or something. But they have purchased these seashells, quote, for my legal fund. And so it's a little bit of fun and a little bit of tongue-in-cheek.
Well, I hope you have a whole lot of pink flamingos there as well.
Well, I did try the pink flamingos.
That's right. You told me about that. You've got to tell us about it.
Well, back in 2003, I was given to the pink flamingos with the pinwheel arms. And it was just, it was from a friend from Canada. It was a whimsical gift as part of my birthday. So I put them out in my front yard on the side by some hibiscus and rose bushes. And I did not plan to leave them there forever. It was somewhat in celebration of my birthday. So not too many days passed, and I get a letter that states that I have to remove the flamingos because they are not earth tone. And yard decorations can only be, of course, green, gray, or brown.
Green, gray, or brown. Oh, good.
So I thought about it. And keep in mind, when I received this letter, my shells are still in the exact same place they've been in 1999. So they didn't complain about that, but they complained about my flamingos. So I went and I got some green spray paint. And I painted my flamingos green.
Oh, those poor pink flamingos.
Because I thought, oh, I'm in compliance now. And a few more days pass, and I get a letter that pinwheels are not allowed.
Pinwheels.
And I couldn't find where pinwheels were not allowed, but I thought, okay, all right. So I went and got some super glue, and I glued the pinwheels so their arms were stationary, and they stood there by my hibiscus bushes guarding night and day. And a few days went by and they disappeared, so I am sure that they were removed by the HOA Gestapo.
Did you report it to the police?
I did not. Afterwards, I thought I really should have done that.
Yeah, you should have. Call the papers. The HOA Gestapo stole green, spray-painted green flamingos.
But yeah, that's another. We do have a good what our residents refer to as the Gestapo. The board refers to them as enhanced code enforcement.
Oh God.
And the homeowners pay approximately $55,000 more per year for a gentleman to go around at night after dark to make sure your yard lamp is lit, you're not watering on days you're not supposed to be watering.
You're kidding.
And heaven forbid you do not have a car parked in the road.
They have some $55,000 a year to have someone check on you at night? What are you, a bunch of teenagers?
Well, and the gentleman goes around with like a huge handheld headlight, like a security light. And some of these people were so upset because their kids would get scared at night because this light shining through their windows. But he's sitting, he doesn't even get out of his car, and he does a sweep of your yard to see if he can see sprinklers moving.
And you're not supposed to water at night?
Well, you are supposed to, but you might be watering on the wrong night.
Are you all given a day or a night that you're allowed to water?
Yes, we are. It's, you know, whether you're an even address or an odd address, or we're told, and heaven forbid your lawn company comes and says water within 24 hours on a day that you're not supposed to be watering, because then you get... Then it starts the process of your yard is brown because it's burnt because you couldn't water.
You're kidding.
It's an interesting... it's interesting. I won't say it's fair. I won't say it's fun. I will be polite and call it interesting.
It sounds ridiculous, frankly, but, you know, imagine having to pay, oh, come on, paying someone $55,000 a year to go around at night to see if you're sprinkling your lawn?
Yes.
On a night that you're not allowed to? So you're only allowed, how many times a week can you water your lawn?
Once.
You're just allowed once?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Interesting.
It is, and if you put new sod down, that kind of is very difficult, especially in the summer if it ends up that you need to put some sod down in the summer.
So you put out a soaker hose.
Yes.
And you hide it in the grass, and you water your lawn.
Well, but we pay for our irrigation water as part of our CDD funds, and that's another issue that for years we have heard that we're using too much water, so they raise our rates, and we're using all this water. So they raise our rates again, and they do an irrigation study, and they want to know why there's no pressure. Well, during one of the studies, it was found out that two churches were receiving free water. But because they were churches, there was no money taken from them, and that one disabled their irrigation system, another decided that they would put in a meter. So going down the road again, we hear, we're using too much water. And almost everyone has turned their sprinklers off at this point because, of course, they don't want to be assessed more money. So now, just a few months ago, they come out with a new plan to do another irrigation study. However, as part of the pre-study, they find out that this water has not been metered for all these years. So we are wondering how they knew we were using more water if it wasn't metered.
So, wait a minute. You're throwing all this money at the CDD for water, and nobody's keeping tabs of what's going out or what you're paying for or what you're getting, or if you're getting your money's worth. Well, if you live in an HOA, you're not getting your money's worth, and apparently if you live in a CDD, you're not getting your money's worth either.
Well, and it goes back to you have an innate belief that the people in charge are doing their job, and you would think that there had been some checks and balances in place when somebody says you're using too much water. Well, where are we using it? One thing, and is there a leak? Is there something up? And then all these years later that they find there has not been a meter in place. However, we have our fees have increased to pay for the water that we supposedly used.
Are you on a meter now?
Not yet.
So you're still paying and you don't know?
That's correct.
Yeah, well. Interesting. When did you discover that there was no meter?
They discovered that probably about 3 months ago.
Oh, so it's a relatively... What's it, 3 months and they still haven't done anything about it?
That's... Well, they had to approve that they would do another irrigation study to see if even if the pipes are big enough, et cetera, et cetera. So they had to approve the dollars for yet another irrigation study that we have paid for at least three that I know of. So now we're going to pay for another one.
All right, let's go back to these CDDs. You've got a neighborhood. The neighborhood is part of an HOA. Do you pay fees to the neighborhood and the HOA, or is it?
No, we just pay to the HOA.
You just pay to the HOA. You have a board in the neighborhood?
We do.
So you have a layer of government.
We do. Our neighborhood is considered a committee, so it's not considered a board, but it's called a neighborhood committee.
And do they have any kind of authority over you? Are they the ones who are fining you?
No, they are not. When you are on a neighborhood committee, then you can be on different committees. I was elected back in 2007. I was on our neighborhood committee. I was also elected in 2009 to be on our neighborhood committee. However, I was told that now that I have this fine, I am not a member in good standing, so so I can't be on a neighborhood committee.
So you, the board members can get away with it. They haven't been caught. You're being fined, so you're not in good standing.
That's correct.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have the HOA board.
That's correct.
And the HOA board then is, or the HOA is part of a CDD. How many HOAs, or do you have a master association? Is this a sub-association, a master, or what?
It is a master association.
It is a master association.
Yes.
And how many master associations, or how many associations generally belong to a CDD, or is it just one association per CDD?
I believe they all differ because the different neighborhoods, you know, there might be three or four neighborhoods, there may be five, maybe a country club involved, so it's all different. But we have five CDD boards that encompass our whole area.
Five CDD boards?
Mm-hmm.
And you vote for all of them?
No, all of mine just funnels up to through CDD 1, and then hypothetically CDD 1 through 5 get together and tell or discuss what they want to happen at the interdistrict authority level.
Hmm.
And the CDD people are usually on the interdistrict board also.
So you have neighborhood, you have HOA, you have CDD, you have IDA, you have what, town, county, city? I mean, we're going to be counting the layers over here.
It is very difficult. And then to add another layer, that there's what they is referred to as town hall, which is the management company.
Wait a minute. The management company is a government, a layer of government?
Well, we have not incorporated, so it's amazing who you have to go to.
Oh, my God. Talk about being bounced around from pillar to post. There's so many pillars and so many posts involved.
Exactly.
In this.
It is a shame. And
it's ludicrous.
That, like I said, they have done the study with whether we should incorporate, and I thought, oh my, another layer. Ooh. So hopefully we won't.
So, okay, let's try to count these up again. You've got the neighborhood, you've got the HOA, you've got the CDD, you've got the IDA, you've got the town hall,
mm-hmm.
and you have a county?
We do.
And you have the county. And you have the state,
mm-hmm.
and you have the feds.
That's correct.
Eight layers. I just counted eight layers of government, Joni.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you lucky?
Very lucky. It's an interesting hierarchy.
Oh, boy.
Or lowarchy, I should.
It's a lowarchy. I agree with you. So what's the next step?
Well, my next step is I have heard from my attorney, and from the start, he has stated that I have had basically the best case that he's seen in 30 years. And he's actually usually on the other side of supporting the HOAs. So the next step is I proceed. I am holding firm. I am not moving my seashells. And hopefully, you know, we are going to proceed. If we have to take it to court, I'm more than willing, because it's time that just somebody stops and does the right thing.
So I guess the court could possibly be the next step.
That's correct. I'm sure that there will be an exchange of letters back and forth via attorneys, but we have some great case law. And, of course, we have the selective enforcement and the pictures that we have. And I have thousands of pictures covering over 4 years. So
Pictures of
yards with more items than I have.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you're going after the selective enforcement angle?
The selective enforcement, statute of limitations and latches.
And how about the authority?
The authority, too, there seems to be some other questions that we're looking into in regards to some of their fiduciary duties. So it unfortunately may be the calm before the storm right now.
When was the last time you heard from them? When was the last time they sent you a notice of a fine?
They sent approximately 2 weeks ago.
So it's still ongoing?
Yes, ma'am.
And so you're up to 4,000 now?
Yes.
As of 2 weeks ago, but then you've got an additional, what, it's still $50 a day?
Still $50 a day.
Something I read in some of the paperwork, you said that the seashells were all part and parcel of the same piece. It was not a bunch of separate things. They were all tied together.
That's correct.
And have they ever addressed that fact that, wait a minute, there's only one thing, so this does not... I mean, I still don't think they have the right to adopt a rule unless it's in the covenants.
No, they haven't ever discussed that. And it's just ludicrous that, and again, in our covenants it says any issues will be addressed in a timely manner. Well, I don't think 7 years is a timely manner for them to address it. And it's not until I disagreed with someone who is in this lowarchy that this all started.
Oh, so they're retaliating.
They are retaliating, that's correct.
Oh, boy. Well, Joni, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I wish you luck.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm sure I will prevail. So that's the good thing here. I am 100% positive. The only thing I feel bad about is if I... Well, I don't feel bad about it. I may collect some money for damages, and the other homeowners will have to pay, including the board members.
Well, the thing is, yeah, they will have to pay, but that's, I think, the price for rolling over.
Yes.
You're either going to stand up and tell the board that, they're not going to act like a bunch of wild animals.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to let them, waste away your money and make life miserable, basically, for a lot of people.
Yes.
And if you are too afraid, then you're going to pay the price.
Well, I'm lucky enough to have a lot of support. Some of the support, like I said, is silent because they're concerned about the retaliation. But to give you an example, our board president now says she has to go two neighborhoods over to do her walking for her exercise.
And I guess she's blaming you for that, right?
Exactly.
See, not them, that they're going out of,
Yes, it's not their actions. It's my actions in putting my foot down.
Absolutely. It's always your actions.
Mm-hmm.
It always works. Well, I hope you'll keep us posted.
Well, I certainly will.
And when you win, I hope you come back and tell us about it.
I would love to.
And thank you so much for joining us, Joni.
Thank you.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect. All my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs. Life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos. Someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAINULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet. The writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos. Someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid. All your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone. United, we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine. And enjoy those precious golden years. Stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos. Someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.